is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we take you through the remainder of the afternoon slate here of Week 15 NFL Sunday. We will get you ready for Sunday Night Football as well, coming up between the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings. But let's start with the biggest story of the day, and that is, no, not the Chiefs missing the playoffs. We'll get to that. But in progress right now, Philip Rivers, 44-year-old Philip Rivers, getting the start for the Indianapolis Colts against the Seattle Seahawks. And if there was ever a game where you wanted to make the argument to one of your friends or your colleagues or whoever that there are look-ahead spots in the NFL, this is the game that you point to. The Seattle Seahawks in this game look like a team that has spent zero practice time focusing on their current opponent. They are playing this game today like they spent all of their practice time looking ahead to Thursday's matchup against the divisional rival, the Los Angeles Rams, in a game that could determine first place in the NFC West. Because how they are not dominating and blowing out the Indianapolis Colts right now is the most baffling score of the day. It might be the most baffling score of the season. Here's where we sit right now with 4 minutes left in regulation. The Colts have a 13-12 lead over the Seahawks. Now, Seattle has the ball deep in the red zone. They're at the 15-yard line, so they can milk this down, kick a game-winning field goal. If they score a touchdown, we'll see what they decide to do. I would imagine they would go for a two-point conversion because you're up five. You want to go up seven. But they have to get in the end zone first, and they haven't been able to do that the entire day. And I'm not even talking about Philip Rivers right now. I'm just going to address the Seattle Seahawks' pathetic offense going up against this Colts defense. A Colts defense, mind you, that is playing this game without their two starting cornerbacks. Tre'Davious Ward got hurt last week against the Jaguars. He's on IR. Sauce Gardner got hurt as well. He's out and not playing in this game. You have the Offensive Player of the Year in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You got a perennial Pro Bowler in Cooper Kupp. You have a quarterback that is capable of putting up big numbers. This is a team that scored, 31 points in the second half last week against Raheem Morris's Atlanta Falcons defense. Yet for some reason, against this Colts banged up D, Sam Darnold, who has thrown for a ton of yards, can't get this team into the end zone. Darnold, 20 of 31 passing for 247 yards. They have zero running game to speak of. Zach Charbonnet, 8 carries for 31 yards. Kenneth Walker, 9 carries for 17 yards. Now, he just did, Darnold, previously hit Jaxon Smith-Njigba for a long 39-yard catch and run, so that makes JSN's numbers look better because JSN now is 7 for 114. And the Colts, and they're gonna force a field goal right now. I mean, this is an embarrassing performance. And it's a game like this that shows me everything I need to know as to prove why the Seattle Seahawks are not contenders. Because real contenders handle business against inferior opponents. Real contenders at home as two touchdown favorites against a team playing a 44-year-old quarterback that's not going to do anything against you offensively, and against a defense without both of its starting cornerbacks, you can't score a touchdown? I'm supposed to back this team when they play against the Rams, when they play against the Eagles, when they play against the Packers? Absolutely not. The Seahawks are the biggest pretenders in the NFL right now. Last week's second half overshadowed what was a horrific first half where there was 6-6 tied against the Atlanta Falcons. They allowed the Titans to score 24 points on them and make that game look close. They lose to the Rams 21-9. You can beat up on the Cardinals. That's impressive. Cool. You can beat up on the Commanders. Cool. That's impressive. This Saints team is over. This Seahawks team, is overrated. And they are nowhere near contenders in the NFC. Nowhere near contenders. Speaking of Phillip Rivers, though, I mean, he's held himself. He's held his own here in this game. It's a dumbed down game plan. Like, it's a significantly reduced playbook. Every pass is. That's exactly what I talked about yesterday on Cashing Out when I gave out my best player of the year, which was the under on Phillip Rivers' longest reception or longest completion. Everything's been quick. Get the ball out of his hands. Dink and dunk screen passes. He's not throwing the ball down the field. The longest completions so far have been catch and runs. Amir Abdullah, running back, catch and run for 14 yards. Michael Pittman had a catch and run for 12. Tyler Warren, the tight end, had a catch and run for 17. Rivers is 16 of 23 for 101 yards. He did throw a touchdown. Jonathan Taylor, 22 carries for 80 yards. Again, you have a Mike McDonald Seahawks defense that has been one of the top defenses in the entire NFL, and this is a dumbed-down, restricted playbook from the Indianapolis Colts, and I guess they are stopping them, right? I mean, the Colts have scored 13 points. I guess the defense really hasn't been the problem. The problem has been the Seahawks offense, which this is a terrible performance. They have not scored a touchdown against the Colts here today, and they're not going to because this game's going to end 15-13. They're going to get the football back, and the game is going to be over. My goodness, what a pathetic performance. What has not been a pathetic performance has been by the Denver Broncos. Denver, much like the New England Patriots earlier here on Sunday, an 11-win team that was listed as a home underdog. The Patriots, they had a lead against the Bills. Buffalo comes back. Buffalo wins that game. Josh Allen flexing his MVP muscles, his MVP candidacy. He's not going to win. It's going to be either Drake May or Matthew Stafford. But, I mean, Josh Allen willed the Buffalo Bills to a victory. That was an impressive performance. And the Bills are not out of the division race right now. That was a huge win for them. But Patriots were listed as home dogs. You know something? The market was right. The Bills, arguably the number one power-rated team in the AFC. And they handle their business. The Broncos, on the other hand, home underdogs here to the Green Bay Packers. Now, money came in on Denver, though. This line got pushed down to about a one-point line. And Denver has proven why. They were trailing in this game as well. And they have come back. They have battled. They have stayed with the Green Bay Packers here in this game. And right now, with 10:50 to go in the fourth quarter, Denver has the football, and they lead 27-26. So they are in the midst of really showing that they are true contenders in the AFC. So if everybody thought, oh, the NFC is just so much better than the AFC, and you got the Green Bay Packers here who go into Mile High, one of the toughest home fields in all of football, and they are a road favorite. How disrespectful to the Denver Broncos. Well, Denver's showing you, yeah, that line was disrespectful, and they can hang with anybody in the NFL right now. Other scores in progress. The Rams have the football with under 7 minutes to go. They lead 34-27 over the Detroit Lions, a game that had overwritten all over it, and it has gone over the total. Rams looking to cover as six-point favorites in that game. I believe they closed at 6 here at Circa. There were some 5.5s on the board, but they did close as a 6-point favorite, but the game has gone over the total. And how about the New Orleans Saints, the team that just doesn't go away? New Orleans trailing against Carolina scores a game-tying touchdown courtesy of Chris Olave from Tyler Shuck. And now the game is tied 17 apiece with 2 minutes remaining, and Carolina does have the football. Carolina closed as the favorite in this game. They were favorites all week. They closed as 2.5-point road favorites. If Carolina loses this game, this would make 12 consecutive losses as a favorite. They had 10 consecutive losses as a favorite coming into this season. They were listed as favorites in the first matchup against the New Orleans Saints, and they lost that game. And now listed as favorites in the divisional rematch spot, and they are at risk of losing this football game. It would be epic. It would be historic. 12 consecutive losses as a favorite. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Let's see what they're able to do here with about 2 minutes left. They do have the football, and it is third and 10 on their own 29-yard line. And then one other game in progress right now, San Francisco at 34-17 lead over Tennessee. Still about 8 minutes to go in that fourth quarter. But the real eyes are on some of these close games, these one-possession games here, as we're going to see if Phillip Rivers can engineer a late drive to get a go-ahead field goal against the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, Rivers, 17 of 25 passing for 117 yards. We are sweating out our longest reception under. So far, he hasn't sniffed it yet. And I don't know if he's going to. I hope he's not going to. It looks like Indianapolis, who has the ball around midfield, is just going to try and run the ball, pound the football, just get into field goal range, because that's all they need to set themselves up for a game-winning attempt. I'm Scott Satterberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us up on the network at VSIN Live. We'll continue to monitor the action in progress, plus get a preview of Sunday Night Football between the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings coming up right here on Live Bet Sunday on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Indianapolis Colts have kicked a field goal and have taken a 16-15 lead over the Seattle Seahawks with 47 seconds remaining. Seattle will get the football and a chance, and we know now with the new kickoff rules and starting field position, you don't have to go far to set up a field goal. And they already have several field goals tonight. Their kicker, Jason Myers, is 5 of 5 on the day. I don't want to jinx anything, but, like, I mean, how poetic would it be if he doesn't make a game-winning field goal if Darnold and company gets him close to getting into field goal range? This is just unbelievable what we have seen. And it's not like, again, this isn't like Phillip Rivers, wow, comes out of retirement and leads the team to the victory. Like Phillip Rivers, okay, 120 passing yards. He did throw a touchdown, and he didn't throw an interception. That was the big part here. But 120 yards goes under. I said we need to be going all Phillip Rivers unders, right? Well, Rivers, he wound up, let's see. What was his attempts? Let me pull this up here. Rivers. Because he goes, the biggest question that I had with the Phillip Rivers numbers, as we're gonna hit the under on the longest reception, longest completion, was where did the numbers come from? Like, where did, you don't have any information to base your numbers off of when it comes to Phillip Rivers. So it's like the sports books just like used, did they use just the computers to see, hey, you have a 14-point dog. Let's see, like, what prop we can list here. His passing yardage was at 14 and a half. I mean, not 14. Passing yardage was 152 and a half. He's going to go under that. The longest completion, as I mentioned, was 29 and a half. It actually went down to 27 and a half. Doesn't matter. He's still going to go under. His passing attempts, 27 and a half. He's going to go under. He's got 26. Unders across the board were the play here for Phillip Rivers. You had yourself a game. You had yourself a successful betting game if you just played Rivers unders across the board. Now, I guess you could have bet under a half of a touchdown, I think was his prop. So you lost that one if you did it under a half a touchdown. But if you just did the completions, attempts, yardage, and the longest, unders all across the board here for Philip Rivers. Let's see where the Seahawks are in relation to them getting into field goal range with a chance to kick a game-winning field goal. And they got the ball now on Indy's 38-yard line. So they are in Jason Myers' field goal range. They are out of timeouts. The Colts still have timeouts, though. So you wonder, does Indy start taking some timeouts to see if they can force a fourth down? And you know something? They did force a fourth down. Sam Darnold with an incomplete pass. Fourth and two now at the 38-yard line. There's 25 seconds left. And Jason Myers is lining up for the go-ahead field goal. It's not a game-winning field goal, just a go-ahead field goal because there's still 25 seconds left. So you know something? We might actually lose on the Philip Rivers pass attempts props. Let's see. The kick is up. And it looks like it is a good field goal. 18-16. The Seahawks lead the Colts with 18 seconds left. So this would be a tough way to lose a long, if Philip Rivers gets a 30-yard completion, it'd be a very tough way to lose. It'll be a tough way to lose yardage. He's at 120, though. You need like 32 yards, 33 yards for him if you're sweating out his over yardage. But yeah, this is 18 seconds now. Rivers will get one more chance. Meanwhile, Carolina still has the football, fourth and seven now at their own 43-yard line. They are tied 17 all with New Orleans. The Tennessee Titans have scored, and they are potentially covering right now. The 49ers lead 34-24 over Tennessee. Tennessee was a 12.5-point dog, so the Titans within cover range here with 4 minutes remaining in that fourth quarter. And the Lions have third and goal here at the 5-yard line. They trail the Rams 41-27 as their playoff chances will take a hit here with this loss. Speaking of playoff chances, obviously the huge story earlier was the loss by the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs, that loss combined with some wins from other teams, the Kansas City Chiefs have officially been eliminated from postseason contention. And to add injury to insult, Patrick Mahomes suffered a knee injury at the end of that game. And based off of some tweets that are out there, I'm not going to speculate. He's obviously going to go for further testing, but it doesn't appear to be a good sign for Patrick Mahomes and him playing the rest of the season. And let's be honest, there's what, 3 games left in the regular season? Like, if you're Patrick Mahomes, you've been eliminated from playoff contention for the first time in your career. And you have, let's say it's the best case scenario and the MRI comes back clean and it is just a sprain of an MCL or ACL, whatever it is. If it's just a sprain, it's not a serious injury. There's no tear. There's no surgery. If you're Mahomes and you're the Chiefs, why are you even playing? And I get it. You know, football players want to play, right? Players want to play, all that stuff. I think the Seahawks just got a turnover. Something just happened here. It looks like the Seahawks defense is celebrating. They are running. The whole defense is running to the end zone and jumping into the crowd. So they came up with the football. I don't know. Did Philip Rivers throw an interception? I think Rivers might have thrown an interception to end the game here. So Rivers finishes 18 of 27. Guess what? You go under 27.5 pass attempts. Winner. And he finishes with 120 yards. You go under 152.5 for the passing yardage. He does throw an interception. So if you did place that bet at like minus 170, you cashed it on the final pass of the game. And with the longest completion being 17 yards, he goes under our best bet of the entire season, which was Philip Rivers under 29.5. So Seahawks are going to get the 18-16 win over the Indianapolis Colts. And this is, it's very rare that this happens, but it's one of those situations where the team wins a game without scoring a touchdown. We saw it happen with, what was it? It was the, was it last year or two years ago, where the Commanders beat the Giants in a game where, remember, the Giants kicker got hurt, and so they were forced to go for two after a touchdown, and then also they couldn't kick a game-winning field goal attempt, so they had to go for it on fourth down, then they didn't get it, and they wound up losing the game. It was like 15-12 or 15-13, whatever it was. and the Giants lost to a Washington team that did not score a touchdown. And that was a very rare occurrence. Well, here we have another rare occurrence of a team that wins a football game without scoring a touchdown. And so congratulations, you got that win here for the Seattle Seahawks. Okay. Elsewhere in progress right now, the drama is unfolding potentially. So the Lions score. It is 41-33 with 2:42 left. They're kicking an extra point right now. Elsewhere, 49ers with a 34-24 lead over Tennessee, as Tennessee is covering right now. They were 12.5-point dogs. The Broncos with a 34-26 lead over the Denver Broncos. And with 12 seconds remaining, New Orleans has the football, setting up a game-winning field goal attempt, it looks like here, with, and it's going to be a long one here, and it's going to be a long one, a game-winning field goal attempt coming up here for New Orleans against Carolina. Actually, it wouldn't even be game-winning because there's 12 seconds left. We do have word on Patrick Mahomes. MRI does confirm that it is a torn ACL in his left knee, and they are exploring surgical options. So, Kansas City Chiefs announcing that it is official. That was about, 8 minutes ago they tweeted out that an MRI has confirmed Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes sustained a torn ACL in his left knee, and they are exploring surgical options. So, season is over anyway for him with the injury, but they were out of playoff contention anyway, so the season was essentially over for the Kansas City Chiefs. We are monitoring what is going on here. Did they not attempt the kick there? So Carolina calls a timeout. I believe there's 12 seconds left. We're watching to see what happens here in the end of this game. 12 seconds left between Carolina and New Orleans. But coming up next, we're going to get into a Sunday night preview. We have the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Minnesota Vikings here on Sunday Night Football. Dallas currently a 5.5-point favorite. Actually, down to 4.5. Excuse me. There's still 5.5s on the board, though, so we got a couple of differing numbers here. But at Circa, Dallas is a 4.5-point favorite. A.J. Hoffman from San Antonio's Sports Star will join us coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is unbelievable. I can't even, I don't know how to explain it, guys. I can't comprehend it. It's just sometimes when there's some magic or voodoo, and I guess voodoo is the proper term because I'm talking about a game in New Orleans, but the Panthers coming into this season had lost 10 straight games as a favorite. They were listed as a favorite in their game earlier this season against the New Orleans Saints, and they lost. They've been underdogs since, now listed as a favorite once again against those same New Orleans Saints. And the Saints have kicked the go-ahead field goal. They lead 20-17. Bryce Young is going to take a snap with 2 seconds remaining in the game. I would assume we're going to get some pitchy-pitchy woo-woo stuff going on here at the end of the game as Tyler Shuck and the Saints will get their 4th win of the season, most likely, and hand the Panthers their 7th loss. The Panthers will lose 12 straight games as a favorite. And the loss by Tampa on Thursday, which opened the door for the Panthers in the NFC South, now gets closed once again as the game will come to a close. Saints get the victory. All right, let's take a look at Sunday Night Football coming up here in about an hour, a little less than an hour. The Dallas Cowboys hosting the Minnesota Vikings. Currently here at Circa, the Cowboys are a 4.5-point favorite with a total of 47.5. Joining us to preview this game on the Progressive Guest Line, he is the host of the Morning Huddle on 94.1 San Antonio Sports Star. They are a Dallas Cowboys affiliate. He is A.J. Hoffman. A.J., thanks so much for giving us a couple minutes here on Live Bet Sunday, and let's talk about this game. J.J. McCarthy comes back from injury, and he looks good last week. In my opinion, I don't think one game erases all the bad stuff that we have seen from J.J. McCarthy this season. That being said, the Cowboys certainly can't be taking this kid lightly, given the success that he did have last week in that game.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that J.J. McCarthy has made 7 starts in the NFL. I mean, this is a rookie for all intents and purposes. So you're going to have ups and downs with him. There's going to be days where he looks really good, going to be days where he looks really bad. One thing I do know is the Cowboys defense has made a lot of mediocre to terrible quarterbacks look pretty good. And I would not be shocked if once again, that's the case here. Because as good as the Cowboys offense is, that defense, and you can say, oh, well, they look good last time out. Or, hey, I mean, they've had their moments too. But for the most part, if you look at the overall picture, this Cowboys defense has been dreadful this season. They have allowed the second most points in the NFL. And I would expect them to give up some points tonight. It's just a matter of how many can the Cowboys put up on the other side.
Well, they have looked better as of late. I mean, obviously the Thanksgiving game aside where they, everyone's going to look bad against the Detroit Lions, right? But since acquiring Quinnen Williams, since revamping that defensive front, they have been a bit better defensively. I just think that I don't see Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason having a successful running game against this Cowboys defensive front, AJ, because they're not Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, right? This is, and even in that game, it really wasn't Gibbs and Montgomery that put up a ton of points. It was Jared Goff passing all over them. So I think the Cowboys defense might be okay here tonight.
The pass defense is certainly the exploitable part of things right now. And that's why it comes down to what do you think of J.J. McCarthy? Because quite frankly, you know, when you talk about they've looked better, one of those games was against the Raiders. That doesn't count. The Eagles, you know, the Eagles are right now kind of a broken offense, and the Chiefs right now are kind of a broken offense. So giving up 21 and 28 points to the Eagles and the Chiefs right now isn't exactly great. They got the win, so it covered things up. But defensively, like, I think we're kind of overblowing what the Cowboys have done. And I think the Lions exposed a little bit of that by putting up 44 on Thanksgiving Day. They do get some extra rest here. And again, they're playing, essentially a rookie quarterback who's about halfway through his rookie season, if you go by game count. So, it's hard to know what to expect from this Cowboys defense, to be honest. I have liked them, against the run. I don't think the Vikings are an okay running team. I don't think they're going to do anything special here. This is really going to boil down to how do the Cowboys handle J.J. McCarthy? And quite frankly, how do they handle Justin Jefferson? Yeah. And we've seen, over the last few weeks, teams have essentially said they're double, triple teaming Justin Jefferson and saying somebody else has got to beat us. And they haven't been able to do it. At least Justin Jefferson hasn't been able to break free of that. So, it's interesting to see how the Cowboys do that. The Cowboys who have kind of gone back and forth on whether or not they want to be a man team or a zone team, depending on how much Trayvon Diggs is complaining any given time. Well, he's not playing, so it doesn't really matter right now. But, yeah, I do think that's the how they handle J.J. McCarthy, how they handle that passing offense is what's going to decide this game tonight.
Offensively, CeeDee Lamb's going to play, but what's the latest with him and what do we expect to see? Do we think that there's going to be a full complement of stats, of snaps? Will he be limited in any way? What are you hearing about CeeDee Lamb tonight?
Yeah, I talked to Coach Schottenheimer on Friday. He comes on our show every Friday, and I asked him about CeeDee, and he said it was such a great time for them to have, a mini bye. Having that 10 days off, he said on Friday that Thursday's practice, he looked like nothing had ever happened to him. So he's expecting CD to be a full go. I'm expecting CD to be a full go. And talking about the offensive side of things, Scott, obviously the Vikings defense is known as this great blitzing team. Well, that's what Dak does best. Dak is best when he's going up against a blitz. So I'm curious to see how Flores attacks Dak Prescott, who has traditionally beat up blitzes. And the other thing is the Vikings, where they are the weakest, and part of it is because they blitz so much, they're weakest across the middle on these slant routes. And that's where George Pickens has really thrived this season. And George Pickens has he's been held out of the end zone for 2 games in a row, was a non-factor basically in that Lions game. I think he's going to have a big day. And if he doesn't have a big day, it means they're throwing extra shade at him, which means it should open up opportunities for CeeDee Lamb, which, you know, again, that's what happened on Thanksgiving before CeeDee got hurt. He was having a really great day. So I think there's some exploitable things for this Cowboys offense as well. I don't know if you can tell. I like the over in this game.
Yeah.
Scott. I think there's a ton of points scored in this game.
I was going to say, I guess you're taking over 47.5 tonight as we're talking to AJ Hoffman, host of the Morning Huddle on 94.1 San Antonio Sports Star. They are a Dallas Cowboys affiliate. I'm Scott Seidenberg. AJ joins us on the Progressive guest line here. We've seen some movement here on this spread, AJ, as it is -4.5 here at Circa. Some books have -5. I do even see a 5.5 on the board. What's your take on the spread here and any movement that we've seen throughout the week? Do you think it's warranted?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been kind of back and forth on this. This is the Vikings are one thing they're good at defensively is limiting explosive plays, and the Cowboys have thrived on that. They need some big plays to get things done, and the Vikings have done a good job of kind of holding up in the red zone. I think if the Cowboys get held to field goals, I think that this could be troublesome. But I think talking to Coach Schottenheimer, they understand where they're at right now. And I don't think you're going to see them play it safe, if that makes any sense. I think that they're going to be going for it on fourth downs where maybe they wouldn't have gone for it before. We saw them last week settle for a field goal on a 4th and 4 right before the half, and it actually gave the Lions time to go down and kick a field goal to match them. And just talking to him this week about whether or not he regretted that decision. You know, he's not a guy that likes to say he regrets things, but he did say that he's going to look at this week a little bit differently and approach it a little bit differently, because even though, you know, they lost and the Eagles lost, that just means there's one less week for them to make up ground. And the Cowboys know they've got to make up ground. The idea of them making a wild card is a pretty far-fetched one at this point. So I expect the Cowboys to take some chances that they wouldn't otherwise normally take. And I think that's a good thing for them. I think in these sometimes when you have a kicker who's hitting from 60 all the time, you get used to just settling and taking points. I think being able to take a few more risks might lead to some more points. And in a game where I think there's a lot of points scored, I'm less inclined to take the underdog. So I lean to the Cowboys here. But yeah, my favorite play certainly on just points.
You know, AJ, it's not far-fetched, man. You know, Carolina loses ahead of Dallas. Detroit loses ahead of Dallas. I mean, there's some things that could play out here if they string together some wins. We got about 30 seconds left. If it's not the Rams representing the NFC, who would you pick? Who would you pick?
Oh, boy, that's the killer. I guess it's the Seahawks.
Come on. What frauds they were today. What frauds.
I mean, I think that game next week is so big.
Yeah.
That obviously, if the Rams are healthy, I think they're far and away the best team in the NFC, if not the best team in the whole league. But now we're starting to see some injury issues pop up with them. It's a fascinating NFC. And then the 49ers, just despite all reports that they're dead and buried, they keep on finding a way. So I'll just take the cop out and say someone else from the NFC West.
All right, AJ. Appreciate the time. We'll have to get you on soon because we got college football playoff coming up this weekend. So appreciate all the insight. Take care. Enjoy the game tonight. There he is, AJ Hoffman, San Antonio's sports star. They are a Dallas Cowboys affiliate as we get ready for Sunday Night Football between the Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings. This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the sports betting network. You can always hit me up on Twitter at Scott Salonair. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live as we will get a full preview here of Sunday Night Football between the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings. Also, we'll go over, once that game gets kicked off, we'll go over the rest of the results here from Week 15 Sunday, including another dominant performance from the Trench Report, a best bet prop winner for us in the prop of the season that I claimed yesterday, which was that Phillip Rivers longest completion prop. And we'll take a look at Monday Night Football coming up between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Miami Dolphins, as we're going to be joined by Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette
coming up a little bit later on in the program. TJ Watt not going to play because of undergoing that procedure for the punctured lung. So we'll get a preview from Ray on what we can expect from that Steeler defense on Monday night against the Miami Dolphins. But let's continue to take a look at this Sunday night football game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings. Currently, right here at Circa, it is the Cowboys -4.5 with a total of 47.5. There are -5s on the board. Now, I don't know if that means that Circa is going to eventually move to -5, but if you do like Minnesota, you can get +5s. In fact, there is an online book right now. DraftKings has 5.5. So if you do like Minnesota, you can get +5.5 at DK right now. Totals are 47.5 pretty much across the board. There are two 48s in the market right now, and we're going to see what other movement occurs as we get closer and closer to kickoff. Wanted to go over some next-gen stats that the NFL provides each and every week. It's one of the things that I go to, especially when it's a really good tool to use in prop betting markets as well. Now, we know sides and totals are just, these books are getting sharper, right? It's getting harder week in and week out to beat the market, especially on the closing number, which is why we always say you got to bet early. You got to take advantage of good numbers when you have the opportunity, because the market sharpens up the lines. The books are getting sharper anyway, but the market just sharpens the lines up as we get closer and closer to kickoff. It's very difficult to beat the NFL on the closing line, especially if you're laying -110 vig each and every game. But you can find edges in the prop markets and the derivative markets. You know, if you look at some team totals, for instance, today I hit a couple of team totals. I didn't play one single side today, I don't think, in the NFL. I played a bunch of props. I played some sides on live bets. Like, I had Seahawks money line live, which was crazy sweat. And a couple of live totals. I had the live total in the Bills game. But I played a lot of team totals. I went under the Browns team total. I went under the Raiders team total. I went under the Chargers team total. That's the way you can find edges here in these betting markets. You got to start taking a look at the derivative markets if you really want to be a successful sports bettor long term. Let's take a look at some next-gen stats for this game to see what we can pick apart from this game to see where we want to possibly place some wagers. So here's what we're looking at as far as the Cowboys defense versus the Vikings offense. The Cowboys, this according to NFL's Next Gen Stats, have used zone coverage at the fifth highest rate in the NFL this season. And in that zone coverage, they have actually allowed the 10th highest completion percentage in the NFL, 8.1 yards per attempt, which is the fifth most in the NFL. Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy has posted just a 57.5% completion percentage and 5.8 yards per attempt against zone coverage this season. That ranks as the lowest and the third lowest marks in the NFL. So this is a case where you have somewhat of a weakness here for the Cowboys defense. Because of their zone coverage, they are allowing one of the highest completion percentages in the entire NFL. But can J.J. McCarthy take advantage of it? And the answer is no. Because, again, against zone coverage this season, J.J. McCarthy has the lowest completion percentage in the NFL and the third fewest yards per attempt. So right off the bat, I'm going to start to look at J.J. McCarthy's props for tonight. And let's take a look at his completions for tonight's game. J.J. McCarthy passing props right now, 194.5 passing yards. Pass attempts is 28.5. Pass completions, 18.5. Shop around. Let's see. I'll actually see if I can pull up some better numbers. We'll trick another book here real quick. But my first inclination is to go under the 18.5 completions here for J.J. McCarthy. Because of the amount of zone coverage that the Cowboys play, and because J.J. McCarthy has got the lowest completion percentage in the NFL, against zone coverage. Let's see if I can get a better number. Completions, 18 and a half. Yeah, juice to the under here for J.J. McCarthy. Let's take a look at some other things from the Cowboys defense to the Vikings offense, specifically as it pertains to the quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. Again, this is according to NFL's next-gen stats. The Cowboys defense has been vulnerable to the deep ball this season, allowing the second highest completion rate and the second most yards and tied for the most touchdown passes on passes over 20 air yards. Now, can the Vikings take advantage of this? J.J. McCarthy has completed just 6 of 27 deep passes for 219 yards, 1 touchdown, and 5 interceptions this season. His 22.2% completion rate on such passes, this is 20 or more air yards, tied for the 4th lowest in the NFL, while his 5 interceptions are the most. So again, a situation where the Cowboys defense is vulnerable to something, but J.J. McCarthy cannot take advantage of it. Let's take a look at some other props here for J.J. McCarthy. How about interceptions? J.J. McCarthy over a half an interception is minus 182. Oh my goodness, that is juiced. Okay, here's what I would do. Here's my recommendation. You guys paying attention? Scooch a little closer. I'm gonna get real with you here. One thing that can be extremely profitable in the prop market is playing these numbers live in game. After all, this show is called Live Bet Sunday. So we're going to place a live bet here on Sunday. As long as J.J. McCarthy does not throw an interception on the first series on offense for the Minnesota Vikings. Now, if he does, I mean, come on, we're just going to laugh at it. It's going to be pretty funny, right? But as long as he doesn't, this in-game number will go down. Right now, pregame, if you're comfortable laying minus 182 juice, that's more power to you. But as long as he does not throw an interception on that first offensive series, this number will go down and go down pretty significantly. And then we can feel comfortable betting an over a half an interception for J.J. McCarthy. After all, the computer is just going to change the number. However, game script could dictate whether or not he's passing more. If this is a high-scoring game, if the Cowboys have a lead and he's throwing more, that's obviously going to lead to more opportunities for us, right? And as long as the time keeps ticking down, the computer's going to change the odds here. And I just think, hey, if he doesn't throw an interception in the first 3 to 5 passes, to me, that doesn't affect his likelihood of throwing an interception. We think he's going to throw the ball, 20-somewhat times tonight, right? Maybe 30 times tonight. His pass attempts prop is 29 and a half. I'd wait after the first possession, monitor this number, and then we go in on J.J. McCarthy to throw an interception. Hey, guys, let me remind you. The college football playoffs kick off next Friday. Well, actually, this Friday. VSiN's got the guide that you need to bet the postseason with confidence. Our college football betting guide is out now. It features full previews of every first-round game, the college football playoff overview, insider breakdowns, best bets, and custom brackets from VSiN experts. My bracket's in there as well. You can see who I picked to win the national championship. Steve Mackinnon's got his power ratings in there, bowl picks from across the VSiN network. You can buy the guide right now for $14.99 or upgrade to VSiN Pro, get the guide included, plus full access to daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Get your guide now at VSiN.com/CFP. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN.